Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. For you are our God, the God of our righteousness, Father. The God who has manifested his righteousness into the tablets of our heart, into a living witness that is being fashioned and formed in our inward parts. A living witness birthed out of the cross in the faith and love of Jesus. A living witness that is a perfect expression, O God, of your righteousness, Father. The living witness that has overcome the world. The living witness that has defeated death, O Lord. The living witness that is expressed, O God, and invested with resurrection power. The living witness that brings us forth as a new creation. A living witness that is faithful and true. A living witness, O God, that is being fashioned and formed into each one of us so that we will entirely live, move, and have our being in this witness that you gave us through the cross. And so we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for all that is being accomplished in us in your righteousness, Father. We thank you that we are slowly and surely, O God, realizing the faith of our God. And the faith of our God opens to us the actualities of your righteousness, Lord. And so, Lord, we are a new creation that you are bringing forth, Lord, perseveringly in a great love, Father, in an immense patience, O God, in an intensity, O God, of truth, Lord, that is sanctifying us and bringing us forth as being pure and holy, the product of your righteousness, Lord. We thank you for all that you have accomplished. We thank you for all that you continue to accomplish, and we thank you as we look forward to all that you will bring to fulfillment in our lives, as you bring us forth as sons of the living God. You are our God, and there is none besides you. And it is our privilege to bless you. It is our privilege to worship you. It is our privilege, O God, to glorify you and magnify you. Thank you, Father, for what you have accomplished in us. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are on the subject of Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord God who is our righteousness. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And in this simple statement, God is defining the intents of his righteousness to manifest us as a new creature, to manifest each one of us as a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. So verse 18 says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that process of reconciling us to himself through Christ is an expression of the righteousness of God. So what has the righteousness of God overcome? Verse 19 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God in his righteousness has chosen not to count our wickedness, but he has chosen to work his righteousness into us. That's amazing. That is grace. So grace is a result of God's righteousness, and God's righteousness is being worked into us so that we will become what God wants us to be. And so God has not by law counted all our sins and judged us on the basis of our sins, but he has chosen to manifest his righteousness over us, work his righteousness into us, and thereby reconcile us to him. And that is grace and mercy. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And the righteousness of God is worked into us in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf, and he overcame that sin, defeating it on the cross, manifesting the righteousness of God through a faith and a love that he developed in God for us. And having defeated sin in that faith and that love, we now are party to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ is manifested to us in a pure and perfect faith. And that faith is the faith of God for us. So once again we come back to Mark chapter 11 verse 22. Have the faith of God, right? Have the faith of God. That's what the literal translation in the Greek is. Have the faith of God. And today I want to talk about having the faith of God. Having the faith of God. Having the faith of God is what the righteousness of God is all about. The righteousness of God is designed to enable us to have the faith of God so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, isn't it? 21, 21, 22? 21, I think we just read, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, right? That we might become the righteousness of God. So we become the righteousness of God through His faith for us. By realizing His faith for us. That's awesome, because through the faith of God that we appropriate in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, we will be enabled to do what we find impossible to do. If God had just put us under the law and said, you must observe this law and come alive to the reality of my righteousness, we would never have made it, because we are strangers to the right to manifest His grace in our lives, meaning that He has by grace chosen to work His righteousness into us, not counting our wickednesses, our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities. We are indeed the product of His righteousness. We are indeed a people who will come to have the faith of God in our hearts that will enable us to become His righteousness. An awesome truth. A bit hard to grasp intellectually. But God is telling you that He is through His faith doing in you what you cannot do of yourself, for yourself. He's bringing into you and me something that is of Himself. We are His workmanship, being created in Christ Jesus. For creation to take place, there must be substance. And you know that faith is substance. So the faith of God manifests the substance that is of God. And that substance that is of God, God defined in Christ Jesus. And He is giving it to us through the faith of Jesus for each one of us. So the cross is the means by which God communicates His righteousness. The cross is the witness through which God communicates His faith to us. The cross is the means by which God is manifesting the power for a new man. The power to unveil a new creation. Behold, new things have come. God is doing something that is entirely His sovereign work. And on this series on the name of God, we are realizing that right from the start, when we started with Yahweh Elyon, the Most High God, or El Elyon, the Most High God, God is choosing to bring forth a work in us that is in accordance with who He is and all that He is. That is what this series on unveiling the name of God is entirely all about. That God, in all of His greatness, in all of His exalted status, has chosen to take people like you and me and make us the product of His own name. We are saved by who He is and by all that He is. And that salvation is expressed in the name Yeshua. And Yeshua simply means Yahweh saves. And the fact that Yahweh saves is ultimately a declaration of His righteousness in our lives. Yahweh saves us by something that He does in our lives. So you and I as Christians must always understand that the key to Christian growth is to ask God to work into us what is impossible for us to do in and of ourselves. And so once again, we come back to the Word of God, and the Word of God says that you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. The fact that of His fullness we have all received is the fact that God is waiting to work the fullness of Jesus Christ into you. And that is the righteousness of God. And in working His righteousness into you, God is telling you that this is the meaning of grace, that I am willing to do a work in you, not counting your faults. Does this mean that we can ignore sin? No, because sin keeps us away from God. But what it means is that we must deal with our sins in the awareness and the understanding that the righteousness of God is available to us to become all that He wants us to become. Nothing is impossible to us. So if you need to have a desire to pray, you pray and ask God to manifest that desire to pray. Out of His own heart, explain to us through Jesus Christ. Explain to us through the life and testimony of Jesus. As Jesus demonstrated the ability to pray as a man before God, even after a hard day's ministry. And because we are able to receive of Jesus Christ through the righteousness of God, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And God is explaining to us something that is tremendous, right? Something very fundamental. See, the Bible speaks to us in many different ways. Sometimes it speaks to us through principles. Sometimes it speaks to us through law. Sometimes it speaks to us through promise. But ultimately, for anything to make sense, the Bible speaks to us through who God is and all that God is. The Bible speaks to us through what God can accomplish in our lives. And that's what the new covenant is all about. The new covenant is God's righteousness fulfilled in your life. And if you and I are not prepared to become the fruit of God's righteousness, the product of God's righteousness, we are never going to attain sonship before God. We are never going to attain the reality of being saints. We are never going to attain the reality of becoming a royal priesthood. We are never going to attain the reality of being a blessing to nations. All those things are beyond the conceptions of man. They are beyond the inherent abilities of the human being. They are inherently realities that come forth from God. They are sustained by God, they are developed in God, and they are manifested by God through each one of us. And the righteousness of God is very exciting because now you and I can become anything that God has chosen us to become. I repeat those words, that God has chosen us to become. That's very crucial. Because Lucifer was not prepared to be what God wanted him to become. He wanted to become what he wanted to become. And because he wanted to become what he wanted to become, he lost out on the righteousness of God and he manifested rebellion before God. So the righteousness of God comes together with the rest of his character, that God is good. That God is a person of integrity and honesty. God will not do something dishonest. You can totally and comprehensively and completely trust God. The righteousness of God is an expression of the fact that God is love. It is an expression of the fact that God is a holy God. It is an expression of the fact that God is a perfect God. That He will never withhold that which is good from any of His sons. We are entirely the product of His love. We are entirely the product of His handiwork. And God is at work in our lives to make us sons of God. God is at work in our lives to make us a royal priesthood. Now, we know nothing about these things. We do not know what it means to be a son unto God. We know nothing about what it means to be a holy priest unto God. We know nothing about what it means to be royal in the presence of the living God. We know nothing about being prophetic and speaking forth the word that is the unadulterated word of truth. We know nothing about a good character because we have none in and of ourselves. When we look at the cross and we look at what Jesus did, when we look at the words of Jesus Christ, when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we realize that He was living a life that nobody before Him ever did. He was living a life and demonstrating a life that no angel in heaven was able to lead, even though they were in the holy presence of God. Jesus Christ was bringing forth something that was entirely of the righteousness of God, something that was entirely consistent with the moral nature of God. And God was doing a new work. Millions of years after having created the angels, God in the context of man was bringing forth something on a new plane of righteousness, which is why James chapter 1 says that we are, as it were, the first fruits of a new creation. We are, as it were, the first fruits of a new creation. Let's turn to that. James chapter 1. Verse 18. In the exercise of his will, this is the Father's will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. Now the word of truth is entirely expressed in the spirit and life of Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the truth. Now, no angel stands in that reality. We are entirely meant to be fashioned and formed in the spirit and life of Jesus. We are entirely meant to be established in the faith of Jesus. We are entirely meant to be a living expression of the love of Jesus. We are entirely meant to be consecrated in holiness unto God. Now that is the righteousness of God. That is God working into us something entirely beyond ourselves. So that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. That means God is bringing forth something entirely new, taking sinful man and making perfect man out of them. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. That, if you look at it by the law, you are finished. You will never start, even begin to be like that. But in the righteousness of God by grace, you and I will be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. Can you see that or not? Can you see the faith of God that is expressed in that statement for you? That God is willing to bring forth in you that is something that is entirely and exclusively of his own stature. You and I are comprehensively a product of the righteousness of God. God is engineering something inside of us through the fullness of Jesus Christ. And we have always got to keep our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always keep our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, because 1 John 3:3 says that he who sets his hope on the Lord Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. Now the process of making us pure as Jesus is pure is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit, entirely the righteousness of God worked into us and worked into our being through the Holy Spirit. God is doing with us something that is entirely beyond our capacity, entirely beyond what we are able to do in and of ourselves. And so as we live as Christians, as we live in a world of darkness, as we battle with forces we can't see with the naked eye, we must always understand that what stands behind each one of us, what stands within each one of us, is the righteousness of God. And no matter how many times we seemingly fail, we have to keep on pressing, knowing that the righteousness of God has already triumphed on the cross, and the righteousness of God will be fulfilled in our lives, because God cannot fail. Because God is expressing something in our lives based on his faith for us. And through his faith for us, he's doing a work that is his righteousness in each one of us. He's creating in us a clean heart, as David cried out for in Psalm 51. He's creating in us the seeing eye and the hearing ear. He's creating in us a heart that will be able to discern the things of God. Yes, it is hard for us to comprehend that we can discern the things of God. But the simple fact is, we can discern many things today that we were unable to discern 10 years ago. Now, how that happened, that is the handiwork of God in our lives. That is a measure of the righteousness of God that has been brought to fulfillment in our lives. And so all things are possible to us. So as you live in your ministries, as you live in your marriages, as you live in your homes, as you bring up your children, as you pursue your professions, as you pursue your businesses, you must understand that the key lesson that you will keep in life is discovering the righteousness of God in your situations and circumstances. That is what will remain. The rest will pass away. The business will pass away. The ministry will pass away. But the righteousness of your God in your life, that will remain forever. That will stand the test of time. That will grow on from eternity to eternity. That will go on to make you a morning star. That will make you the first fruits of a new creation. So when God addressed Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14, I think, right? Verse 12, or 12 and 13. He called him Star of the Morning, Son of the Dawn. So we are becoming morning stars, and we are becoming the first fruits of a new creation. Right? We are becoming sons of the dawn. Right? God is dawning new things into us that are entirely of his righteousness, that are entirely of his workmanship. And God is able to do that in us because of the fullness of Jesus Christ we have all received. God has ordained that reality that no other creature in the universe has got. Ezekiel 44 verse 28 says that Jesus Christ is our inheritance and our possession. He has been given entirely for us through the cross. And the witness of the cross is meant to be manifested in us, perfected and completed in us in substance. So that we will realize the fullness of Jesus Christ that is entirely and exclusively the righteousness of God. And so as we go through life day by day, as we go through hardships in the ministry, as we go through disappointments, seeming disappointments in our lives, you are just facing perceptions. You're battling spiritual perceptions. Can you see the faith of God over your life? Can you see the righteousness of God over the ministry? Or are you going to see people walking away from God? People have been doing that for centuries. But what are you going to see? People walking away from God or the remnant that is turning to God? Which do you want to see? Do you want to see people pandering to their flesh and turning away from God? Or are you going to see people turning to God and realizing the righteousness of God? Fair enough, it seems to only be a handful. But God doesn't need many, many seeds in order to manifest greatness. Look what he has done through the life of one man, the true man, Jesus Christ. Look at the fact that so many of us today stand before God based on the righteousness of that one man. And what was the secret of that one man? What was the ingredient of that one man that sets him apart from all other men? The fact that he was exclusively and entirely a product of God's righteousness. That's why Jesus made statements like in John 5:19, I can do nothing of myself. Which means that I function entirely by the righteousness of God. John 5 verse 30, Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. What does he say? Every initiative that is manifested in me is of the righteousness of my God. I don't do anything that is not of God. And as we learn how to function in the name of Jesus, as we learn how to respond to the witness and testimony of Jesus, we are all realizing that reality of learning how to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when you learn how to do something through Christ who strengthens you, what you have learned in Christ Jesus will be manifested in you in eternity. It will grow in you in eternity. It will enable you to become what you can't conceive of yourself becoming today. You will become pure and holy. You will have a heart that will truly love God with all of its essence, all of its fullness, with all of its every expression. It will come forth because that's what the righteousness of God has designed for you and me. And so if we flow in the righteousness of God by the Spirit in Jesus' name, we will realize God's work in our lives because He cannot fail. We will fail time and time and time again, but the key is to pick yourself up and say, but I am the product of God's righteousness. Yes, I fell victim to my own flesh, but I am still the product of my God's righteousness. And He will crucify my flesh and enable me to rise to put on Christ so that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because the Bible says that of the fullness of Jesus Christ I have received grace upon grace. I am the product of God's righteousness. That's what my Bible is saying. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And that's all I need to do. Pursue Jesus Christ. And as I pursue Jesus Christ, I will realize things in spite of my many weaknesses, things that will change me, things that will enable me to become what I never thought I would become. I will come to desire things that I never desired before. Because God is at work in my heart. God is at work in my mind. God is at work in my spirit, He's at work in my soul, and He's at work even in my body. The life of God is being manifested to me, and I am changing. Brethren, you have changed. Don't ever think it is because you fasted and you prayed. It is because God enabled you to fast and you prayed, and enabled you to pray. It is because God did a work inside of your hearts. It is because God accomplished in you what you would never have accomplished in your own strength. And how do we distinguish between what is of God and what is of us? When you have received something that is of God, you have a total freedom in that reality. If you have done something that is of your own stature, then you will find that it is always a burden because you have to sustain it in your own strength. And therefore you always carry this burden, oh my God, I will sin if I say this and I say that and I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do the other and I can't do the other. But when you are dependent on the righteousness of God, you are set free. The truth will set you free. Because everything in you that you are able to do has been manifested through the handiwork of God. It is of the spirit and life of Jesus. It is of the faith and love of Jesus. And it's something that brings into it a desire that you never knew you existed. It brings into you a passion. And that word passion is so important because Jesus had a passion to see us saved even while he was being whipped. Even while nails were being driven into his body. He had a passion for us even as the Holy Spirit left him. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had a passion to see us saved. And that passion cannot fail. Because now that passion is being manifested to us in the power of the living God. The power for a new man, to create a new man. The power that is entirely designed and programmed to manifest in you and me a clean heart, to manifest in you and me the mind of Christ, to manifest in you and me a new nature in conformance to God. Jesus was righteous and holy and pure because he was entirely able to live by God, brethren. That's the point we are trying to make here. Jesus Christ came to establish a new man. A man who learned how to live by God, function by God, do all things by God. He was never in a hurry because God was never in a hurry. He was never in a hurry because he had a total confidence in God. All he was concerned with was doing what God wanted him to do. Nothing less, nothing more. He was just flowing in God's plan for his life. He just flowed with what God provided for him at every moment of time. He was entirely able to function in the righteousness of his God. Are you listening? And that testimony of Jesus, that witness of Jesus, God wants to fashion and form into you and me to make us a new creation. God created all things through the Word. But to create a new man, God has manifested the Word in his own self. The Word that is being fashioned and formed in you and me is entirely of God himself. Yahweh Sidkenu is a total expression of God himself in you. Yahweh Mukadesh is a total expression of the God who sanctifies you in and of himself. Yahweh Shalom is a total expression of the peace that God manifests in you and me in and of himself. Yahweh Yireh is a total expression of all that God provides for you and me in and of himself. Yahweh Rohai is the reality of a communication system that is to be developed in you and me entirely in and of God himself. Yahweh Rophe is the reality of a God who sustains us day by day, in all eternity, by himself and of himself, he is our healer. Yahweh Nissi is the God who manifests in us a growing victory, right? A triumph of God in our lives in and of himself. Yahweh Shama is the reality of a God who is in you, in and of himself. Can you see that? The only question is, do you want this? Are you with me? That's the choice we have to make. Do we really want to be entirely a product of God? Some people will actually say no to it. In fact, many people will actually say no to it. But there is a remnant who will say yes and amen. I want to live in you and of you and by you. Now, as I say that, There is a part of you that says, I don't want it. There's a part of you that says, I'm not sure what this really means. But there's also a part of you that says, yes, I want to see that. But as you receive of Jesus Christ, you will receive of Him the desire to want God absolutely, totally, and comprehensively. Are you with me? That's why for change to take place in you and me, Jesus Christ is the ingredient that God has to manifest in us. The Messiah, His witness, His testimony, His character, His nature, His spirit, His life, His faith, His witness, His testimony, His mind has to be manifested in us, because in and of ourselves we do not have the capacity to even choose God. Are you listening, brethren? Now, this is what it means, the righteousness of God. So Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God says that God can make you all that He has designed the scriptures to be. God can make you full of every promise that He has defined in the scriptures. God can make you purposeful and abundant in His greatness. God can make you a vessel of His own glory, a vessel of His own presence, a vessel of His own name, a vessel of His own choosing. Do you want it? Like I said, if you want it, the wanting is going to come out of the heart of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if you do not eat of My flesh and drink of My blood, you have no life in you. And so many Jews walked out on Him, because they said, how can this man give us of his own flesh and of his own blood? They could not understand that the blood stood for the witness. The flesh stood for the substance of a new creation. What was really Jesus thinking about? What was He really saying? Will you drink of My witness so that you will have My witness inside of you and do what I want to do in God? Do you want to be of My own substance so that you can become what God has designed you to be? Will you give up your rights and realize the will of God? That's what it amounts to ultimately. The righteousness of God is based on this. Your response and your willingness to give up and surrender your own rights and say, Lord, I will trust You. I will trust Your choices for my life. I will trust what You have for me. And I will pursue what You have for me. Because You are good and I don't know what it means to be good. And God's hierarchy in the kingdom to come is going to be entirely based on that choice. Those who are recipients of the fullness of God's righteousness will rise to the highest levels. Those who only want salvation will be at the lowest level. There will be a hierarchy in the creation to come. But it will be entirely based on our free choice response to the righteousness of God. So always remember, in the life that you are living each and every day, everything is based on your response to God's righteousness. The way you pray, the way you speak in tongues, the way you minister the gifts, the way you function in the anointings that God has given you to be businessmen, to be professionals. How do you choose to respond? Do you want to function entirely by God, or do you want to function half-half? Many people, in fact most people, will choose to function in their own using God's gifting. But the highest level that God has have to be manifested in His righteousness. So you choose. How do you want to respond to God? Jesus said, My power is perfected in your weakness. Very simple. If you understand that, you have everything in the kingdom of God. You will have every spiritual blessing open to you in the kingdom of God. Listening? You know, there are people who observe the law, and God has a place for them, even those who observe the law. But those who observe the law will never be party to God's grace. In the sense of realizing everything through the righteousness of God. They will keep on doing things in their own strength. And in being able to do things in their own strength, that's the level of life that they will realize. But there are those who will seek the righteousness of God, and they will keep on rising forever and forever and forever, because the righteousness of God is limitless. Can you see that? Praise the Lord. So this righteousness of God, we have to pursue it in the reality of things we do every day. Little things, big things. How is your response in the end? Is it a response based on your righteousness, or is it a response based on the righteousness of God? Or is it something in between? 70% yourself, 30% God. Or is it 30% yourself and 70% God? Now, Jesus' righteousness was based on 100% God and nothing of himself. Can you see that? So when we say and sing songs like, I want to be like Jesus, that's what it really means. To Jesus, God was absolute. To Jesus Christ, God was absolute. But the process of realizing a reality like what was in the heart of Jesus is also the work of God. So you and I have to walk into it and let God work into us his righteousness. You remember Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 27. God will put his spirit within us and cause us to walk in his statutes. And that's the key. God can cause you to become what you have no desire to become. 20 years ago, you had no desire to be what you are today. Absolutely no desire. If someone would have talked to you about what you could have been today, you would have rejected the entire idea. So why are you like what you are like today? Simply because God's done the work inside of you. Right? Now, you would never choose to have become what you were 20 years ago. And everything in you will say, no, I don't want that. God engineered something inside of you that is of his righteousness. He brought the change. He brought the changes in thought, in will, in emotions, in character, in nature, in thinking, in attitudes, in desires, in imaginations. He changed us. And he's at work in our lives. Yeah? But ultimately, all creation will have to understand that the creation can only stand in the righteousness of God. So, brethren, today the Lord tells us something that is of extreme importance to us. Verse 17 of James chapter 1. Chapter 1 of James, verse 17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above. What does that tell you? That every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is a product of God's righteousness. It comes from above and it has to be worked into you. It has to be perfected and completed into you. A gift is of no use unless you can use the gift the right way. And learning how to use the gift bestowed is the product of God's righteousness. God has got to teach you how to function in that gift. So we all have gifts. Whether they are small gifts or great gifts, the gift in itself doesn't mean very much. Now repeat it. The gift in itself doesn't mean very much. It is how you function in the gift that means very much. From our frames of reference, the woman who gave two mites gave nothing. But from God's point of reference, the woman who gave two mites had something that was far greater than those who brought what seemed to be, by our measurements, great. The two mites in themselves meant nothing. But the reality of God in that woman's heart was everything, because with that reality of God in her heart, God could have done anything with that woman. He could have taken that woman anywhere. That's the point God is trying to make. We admire people when we see them operating great gifts without understanding that the gift in itself means nothing. It is how you function in that gift. It is how you put that gift to use. And how you put that gift to use is entirely based on your regard for Jesus Christ. Because that gift is ultimately a living expression of something of Jesus Christ. So to some people, God gave a small measure of the gift of Christ. To some people, God gave a large measure of the gift of Christ. But the ultimate question is Christ manifested in the gift? Or are you manifested in the gift? If Christ is manifested in the gift, that is the righteousness of God. If you are manifested in the gift, then it is entirely of your righteousness. And ultimately, when God rewards you one day, He will reward you based on what is the merits of the righteousness that is alive in you. Is it of God or is it of yourself? And you can answer that yourself. So the crucial fact is, what are you willing to allow God to become in your life? So the righteousness of God, an awesome reality. Have the faith of God. So you must understand, to walk in the righteousness of God, you must become party to the faith of God. You must know that God is doing something in you. Far beyond your capacity to understand, your capacity to be able to gauge, your capacity to be able to know, your capacity to be able to apply. God is doing something that is of awesome proportions. So as you read the Word of God, you must hook into the faith of God, and you must hook into the reality that God is planning to do something in your life and my life that is entirely, totally, and comprehensively beyond your inherent capabilities. So if you are in a business and you're running a business, God wants you to realize something that is of the stature of Him rather than something that is of the stature of yourself. If you are in ministry, God wants you to realize something that is inherently of His stature rather than something that is inherently of your stature, of you just operating and anointing. That is the key, guys. But you have to set your hope in the right direction. What is your response to God's word? Do you want to see more of God, or do you want to see more of yourself? That is a free choice thing. Ultimately, we all live by the choices we make. Today, we are facing the consequences of choices we made at the age of 20. To those of us who are 40 and above. Some of them were very foolish choices. And today at 40, God is asking, are you willing to rectify those foolish choices you made at the age of 20? The choices you made at the age of 20 were based on what you understood, what you knew, what you perceived, what your intellect said was right. And the next 20 years have borne witness to what has resulted from those choices. And now God is asking us, do you understand something that I was trying to teach you? That your righteousness makes wrong choices. My righteousness makes no mistakes. Hello? My righteousness makes no mistakes. My righteousness is pure and perfect. My righteousness is based on perfect choice. So the righteousness of God is based on perfect choice because God is omniscient. He can see all things. That's why the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why does the Bible make a statement like that? The guy who actually wrote it didn't understand what he was saying. But what it means is that God in His omniscience, omnipresence and omnipotence, has designed you and me to be in His perfection. To be the product of His righteousness. To be the product of His perfect choices. And in that reality, He ultimately sees a perfect creation. It's awesome. That Yahweh's Tzidkenu is a reality we can possess in our own hearts. Praise the Lord. I hope you are opening the deeper dimensions of what the Word of God is all about. If you keep on seeing the Word of God from the perspectives of man, you will keep on reducing it to the mediocrity of man. But if you lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh your help? Then you are opening your eyes to what God can make you become. And what God can make you become is infinitely beyond what you think you are today. Infinitely beyond. They're on a totally different plane of creation. You know that one day we will stand higher than the angels. But today, if you brought an angel from heaven, one of the big angels that you see in the book of Revelation, they will completely overwhelm us. But one day in the stature of Christ in us, one day in the name of Jesus Christ, one day in the reality of Christ formed in us, we will stand far higher. Far higher simply because we will be entirely the product of God's righteousness. And when that happens, we will no longer strut around like peacocks either, because we will also appreciate that we are entirely the product of God's righteousness. And we will be humbled by that fact. Praise the Lord. Let me give you one last verse before we end tonight. Isaiah chapter 66. Verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? What is he saying? You can, of yourself, never build a house for me. Yet if you read the Bible says that you and I are the house of God. So what is God saying? If I don't build that house out of my own abilities, that house cannot contain my presence. You understand that? Yeah? And where is a place that I may rest? For God to rest in us, we must be at rest at Him, in Him. We must be at rest in who He is and all that He is. How do we rest in God like that? When we know the righteousness of God. That's why I said earlier, if you are growing in God and by God, you will be at rest. No matter how many flaws you have in your character and your nature, you will be at rest because you know God is at work. If you are in your flesh trying to attain the righteousness of God, you will always be traumatized. You will always be at unease. You will always be trying and trying and trying and trying. And never being satisfied. That's why the world, the systems of the world can never produce satisfaction. No matter how much success a man gets, he is never satisfied. But in God, you realize that although God has actually opened to us the limitless, at every level in which He builds us, we reach a level of satisfaction. In God, the rest increases as we achieve greater things. Are you with me? Because those greater things will never be achieved if you are not at rest in God. Those greater things will never be achieved if you are not at rest in God. So ultimately, flowing by the Holy Spirit is a reality of being able to rest in God so that you can flow by the Holy Spirit and are not traumatized by what you can't understand or what you are not in control of. You just simply know that God will work all things. For God works all things, right? What does Romans 8 say, right? Let me just read that verse very quickly. Verse 28, Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. According to His purpose is according to His righteousness. Yeah? But we know that. You see, the key is we know that. We know that is a rest. If you know that God is at work in your life, in spite of the fact that you are going through traumas in your life, then you know that through those traumas, God is perfecting you. God is teaching you how to overcome. God is teaching you how to turn to Him. God is teaching you how to draw solutions from Him. God is teaching you how to rest in Him when those solutions seem to be beyond your comprehension. Do you know how you and I will become sons of God? Have you ever tried to figure that out?
You can't. That is entirely of the process of thought that is within the heart of God the Father. So God causes all things to work for good for those who love Him, right? Verse 2 of Isaiah 66. For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. Why does God say, my hand made all these things? He's trying to say, let me make you too. And then he says, but to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Why does a person tremble at God's word? Because now he can see God in his word. He can see the hand of God move through his word, and he's awe-stricken by the word of God. Because God is doing something with his word that is beyond the comprehension of the human mind. So as we listen to God's word, as we listen to what it contains, it contains the righteousness of God. It contains the will of God. It contains the purpose of God. It contains the thoughts of God. It contains His Spirit and His life. It contains His faith. It contains His love. It contains His character. It contains His nature. And all that God has explained to you and me through the testimony of Jesus. So if you receive the word in the testimony of Jesus, you will 100% become recipients of the righteousness of God. No matter how many times you fumble and stumble. Some of us are so traumatized when we are inadequate before God. And the real reason why we are traumatized is because we are losing control. We are not in control and we are traumatized by that fact. But if you trust God and are able to live your life by God, then you will realize things that God enables inside of you. Praise the Lord. So let God be God. Yahweh Sitkanu. Let God be God. Yahweh Sitkanu. Let Him do the work. But if God tells you to move into something, move into it. You may not even understand how on earth that could happen. Just move into it. Say, all right, Lord, let's go into it. But I don't have a clue of what it's all about. That's all right. Since God knows all things, we will ultimately learn many things from God. But we will never know all things. No matter who we become in God, we will never know all things. We will always know only some things. But the some things we know today and the some things we will know in a million years, there is no comparison between the two. Yeah. God will transform us. God will create in us the mind of Christ. God will expand our hearts in the flesh of the Lamb. God will make us big temples, right? Big dwelling places for the glory of God. We will manifest as morning stars. Praise the Lord for the bright morning star. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the blueprint of your righteousness opened to us by the Holy Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And indeed you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. When you declare that, Lord, you are declaring that there is no limit to the blessings you have for each one of us. That, Lord, as long as we keep our eyes on what you have given us in Christ Jesus, as long as we understand that whatever we realize is a gift from you, it is a product of your righteousness, Lord, our lives are limitless. The potentials of our lives are limitless. But our lives, no matter how limitlessly they may be fashioned, will entirely be a product of your righteousness. It must always be so, Father. Because if it is not of your righteousness, then it would be manifested in rebellion to you. And so we thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us and you have predestined us to become sons unto you. That we will be perfect even as our Heavenly Father is perfect, because, Lord, that is your workmanship accomplished in our lives. So as we stand before you today, Lord, we thank you for what we have heard. We thank you for what your Spirit has written into our hearts. We thank you that you are able to work through our wrong responses. You are able to work through our wrong thoughts. You are able to work through the flaws in our character. You are able to work through the flaws in our thinking. You are able to work through the flaws in our behavior patterns, Lord. You are able to work through the flaws in our will and our choices, Lord. And we bless you that you are able to do so. We bless you for your righteousness. We bless you for your faith that stands over each one of our lives. We bless you that we are called to have the faith of God. and so become entirely the product of your righteousness. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the worship, we give you the praise. We bless you and thank you, Holy Father, for what you have ordained by the Spirit in Christ Jesus in each one of our lives. We are not in a competition, Father, because you will never withhold your blessed from any one of us, and we thank you. That as we learn to respond, as we learn to walk into what you are fashioning and forming within us, Father, we bow before you with gratitude in our hearts. Thank you that we don't have to live by our righteousness, Lord. That we can live by the righteousness of our God. That we can become the righteousness of God. And that's exciting, Lord. Because suddenly we realize that you will enable us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have accomplished for us in and of yourself, in who you are and in all that you are. We bless you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.